I do want to officially welcome you into spring. It's weather like this that keeps all the riffraff out. And so, at least that's what they tell you. Good to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. You know, it's a very humbling thing. And you go and have to give blood in anticipation that they might have to put it back in you, and or they have to analyze it to see whether how sick you are, how well you are, so you can go through surgery and so forth. What's most humbling is that they were saying a few weeks ago, "Do you have a will? And have you made a living will? And you really need to do that before you go into surgery." And just one of those, you know, things going, what? You anticipating something going wrong? And they said, well, yeah, maybe. So you need to have that. And, of course, recently I've actually been in two situations, one with Gus Wegman, another with another person, and they actually enacted the living will, and I was actually the executor of that living will and had to make decision to pull the plug and all those kind of things they have to go through. So I have actually seen it up close and personal. And it is a humbling experience when you're sitting there writing out your last will and testament and then also doing a living will. And then I got some of you guys recently downstairs a while ago to actually witness it and sign it. And so I'm good to go. Babe, you're okay. To think about that, and I spent all day yesterday actually writing the last will and testament and writing letters to my children in case something were to go wrong. I don't anticipate that, and I'm not at all afraid about it, but I just wanted you to know that it is a humbling thing when you're sitting there thinking, that when particularly one of the questions on the living will was, have you made arrangements for your body? And where are you going to be buried? And do you want to be cremated? Do you want to be what? Open casket? Or what is it? And so, you know, you have to think that kind of stuff through. But I'll tell you what, the songs that we just got through singing, you know, I know that my Redeemer lives. You know, a man a long, long, long time ago, perhaps 4,000 years ago, named Job, actually made that statement. I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand there on that last great day. And I'm certainly confident of that. And the other song that Jason led us in was that my name is written there. And I'm ever confident that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I wouldn't be standing before you each week if I didn't really believe that. That is the ultimate in hypocrisy. Like Andy himself said this morning about those things. Are you sure? It's the height of hypocrisy for us to stand here on a week-by-week basis and preach to you and not believe what we're saying. So one of the things I'd kind of want to think about with you tonight, just for a few minutes, is talking about your confidence in, is your name written there? Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that your Redeemer lives and that he will be there on that last great day and he will keep his promise and he will secure your salvation and bring you home to be with him? Do you really believe that? And this idea of your confidence level in your salvation, you need to be assured of that. And you need to be assured of that every single day. When you wake up in the morning, when you go through your day, and when you go to bed at night, you need to make sure of your confidence that it is blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation. That's me. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ in his glory, Romans 8, verse 17. And we need to understand and believe that with all of our hearts. And I want you to have that in your heart as well. We talk about these things. You know, what's interesting is, as I was thinking about this lesson, about my confidence in my salvation and you being confident in yours, how best to go about that? What passage of Scripture should I look up? What text should I expound upon and those kind of things? And then I got to thinking about it. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13 for the preacher to give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. You know what? I'm going to do all three of those tonight. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read you a book of the Bible, an entire book. And we're just going to read it as the first audience that would have read it long ago. 1 John. Get your Bibles, please. And we're going to read it from front to back. without any interruptions, no pause, no station identifications, any of those things. We're just simply going to read 1 John together. And I want you to kind of get the understanding of what we're about to read. I want you to see some things. I want you to know, are you confident in your salvation? Are you assured of your salvation, that you are going to go to heaven? One of the things that you need to see about John is that when he talked about the security of the believer, and he certainly did that in all five of those chapters, and really in the Gospel of John as well, when he wrote, as he said in John 20, verse 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and may have life in his name. John wrote from his Gospels, and then he picked it up the same with his epistles. And all through this particular, this letter, this little epistle of five chapters, he expounds upon this idea. You're going to see him again and again talk about himself being the aged and him talking to his little children. He names them as little children over and over and over again. And what he's worried about is he's thinking back to these brethren. Likely they were in and around the city of Ephesus and the surrounding area that we would know as Asia Minor, where the seven churches of Asia would have been. Chances are John spent at least a quarter of a century in that area. And he knew these brethren and knew them well. And he had heard of all of these false doctrines that are coming in and shaking them down to their bootstraps, where they were worried about, well, what John told us, what the apostles told us, but now these other guys are coming in and they're telling us that was not right, and now they just didn't know what to believe. And their salvation was shaken. And now all of a sudden there was others who claimed to be smarter and wiser and more intelligent and knew more answers than that old aged guy that's gone now. And so John gets wind of that and he writes this powerful, powerful epistle. And it's one of those that if you just would sit and read it and read it and read it. I can't tell you how many times I read it this week. And what I did, I finally just came to the conclusion, I'm going to read it to you. And we're going to read it together. It takes me 16 minutes. 16 minutes. And we're going to take this 16 minutes. And I want you to picture yourself in the audience of John's original readers, who were worried, who were scared, who didn't know about their salvation anymore. They didn't know that their Redeemer was still alive and was going to give them salvation. They didn't know if their name was written in the book of life. But I'm going to read it with as much heart and passion as I can because I believe what I'm reading. And I want you to believe it too. But to do that, do you believe that Jesus is the incarnate Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Savior of your soul? Do you believe that? Yes or no? And one of the things I want you to notice as we read the words, I want you to pick out words. They're the ones that jump out at me. As I was going through it again and again, certain words just would jump out at you. And here's how you appreciate this letter. Look at all these words on the left side. Yeah, your left side. The Father, God, the Son of God. For those who will later read this, I want to put this out there. Father is mentioned 13 times. God is mentioned 63 times in just five chapters. The Son of God is mentioned 23 times. Advocate, of course, is once. Propitiation, twice. And then on the next little category, life, light, and love. Notice how many times these words are mentioned in just a few chapters. 15 times life, 6 times light. Love is mentioned 42 times. And then the born of God 8 times, children of God 4 times, in God or in Him 20 times. And then the key word in the book is the word know. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that my name is written in the book of life. I know, and the word there is gnosko, which means you have intimate knowledge of. It's something that you are just sure of, you're confident of. In fact, it's the word that would go with the word confident. Abide, and there's another key word in the book where you abide in Him. He abides in you. It's something where you are part of His life in an intimate way. And fellowship is mentioned 4 times. All of that is talking about relationship. The book is just oozing with relationship. And John has sensed that these brethren no longer have this relationship with God anymore. They do not feel an intimacy with Him. Something has come along. These false teachers have come along. These antichrists, as he's going to bring out, have kind of persuaded them that they no longer had their salvation assured. But it takes relationship to feel that confidence. We're going to talk about that. And then we're going to look at this little next section where the word assurance, or the word boldness, or the word confidence is going to be seen. But also the word overcome five times, or victory, the word Nike. Forgive or forgiven twice. Cleanse or cleansing twice. And confess your sins to one another four times. What we're talking about here is the results of that relationship. What happens when I abide in Christ? The results are I have the victory. I am forgiven. I am cleansed. I have my name written in the book of life. That's the result. Now, how am I going to get that? Just the idea of you use the reason. Here's the reason for it. Go back to the writings. Go to the things that these apostles and the eyewitnesses who saw him and touched him and handled him, and they are declaring to you and giving witness and bearing testimony to the fact that, yes, God's promises are true. We who knew him intimately can share that same intimacy with you. And if you'll believe what we teach you, you can have the same relationship that we had with him when we walked and talked with him. But then there's the world and there's the Antichrist out there trying to persuade you otherwise. Now that said, let's read. You're in the audience. Somebody has just unrolled the scroll. And you're scared. And John's got something to say. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Oh, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He Himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. And by this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked, Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you. Which thing is true in him and in you? Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness, and he walks in darkness, and he does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Oh, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it's the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Oh, beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins. And in Him, there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who sins, he's of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his father. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know him, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Oh, my little children, let us love in word, or in let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. If our heart condemns us, God's greater than our heart, and He knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments, and we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. Ah, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not know, who is not of God, does not hear us. By this we know the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and he hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now this is the confidence that we have in him. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have received the petitions which we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, He will ask. And he will give him life for those who commit sin not leading to death. There's a sin leading to death. I do not say that we should pray for that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there's sin not leading to death. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I hope that you had the same reaction that those people 2,000 years ago had when they heard that read for the first time. Truly, you felt the relationship that was there. God so intimately wanted their love, intimately wanted their heart. He wanted them, and he wanted them saved. He has done everything possible for our names to be written in the book of life. As we read that epistle, I hope that it moved you. And I hope that it gave you the blessed assurance and the confidence that he spoke of so much in that book. When they got through reading that, I can imagine, I tried to put the emphasis on that verse 20 of chapter 5. But what I want to do is just take a moment and then we'll close. I want to rehearse what we just read. In chapter 1, I picked out two verses in each book, in each chapter. I'm just going to read the two verses again from each chapter. That's 10 verses. In chapter 1, verse 4, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." And then he said down in verse 7, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Hope that you believe that. In chapter 2, latter part of the chapter, I picked out these two verses to highlight. Verse 25, "And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life." And then now, verse 28, "Little children, abide in him, that we, when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a thought that is. And then verse 20, "If our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." If you're questioning things, God's greater than that. If you're wondering and worrying, God's greater than that. And he can give you confidence if you'll give him your heart. In chapter 4, verse 4, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." In verse 17, "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Finally, in chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith." In verse 13, "These things I have written to you that who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." And what a fitting conclusion that was that I gave in the last reading, finishing the book up. "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is true God and eternal life." You know, I thought about Paul's thoughts along that same line. Paul talked about being led by the Spirit. John talked about the Spirit being within us, and therefore we know. Think about my spirit bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. And what Caleb did last week, what maybe some of you need to do tonight, is just your spirit bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Do you believe that? The Bible acknowledges that you're a sinner. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We need to confess that. We also need to acknowledge the fact that, as John has pointed out over and over and over again in this epistle, Jesus is the Son of the living God. We need to tell the world without any trepidation, with no ambiguity, He is the Son of God. He is my Savior. He is my Redeemer. And then be willing to be crucified with Him, to die with Him, and then to be raised up with Him to walk a new life. And from that life to say, Spirit, teach me. I want to learn all things there is to know. And everything you teach me, I will obey. And when I fall short, I will confess. And God, you keep your promise and I'll keep mine. Well, He will certainly keep His. And if I keep mine, salvation is assured. When he finished it up there in chapter 8, it was the same thing John was really saying. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all things? I am persuaded. Are you? Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, or principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe that. And I am persuaded of that. And I know that my Redeemer lives, and that He will return for me. And He will resurrect this mortal body, and He will make it into a gloriously, immortally arrayed body, fit for Him and fit for the presence of His Father in heaven. And I believe that, and I trust that you do too. And if you don't, you now know the steps. Has your spirit borne witness with the Holy Spirit that you are a son of God? Can you know of the assurance as you pillow your head in the darkness of your room this night that you are saved? And whether you've written your will or not is beside the point. Do you know what will happen not just to your mortal body, but do you know what will happen to your immortal soul? What would you give in exchange for your soul? If you're not a Christian tonight, I beg of you, I plead with you to become one while we stand and while we sing.